Wednesday, March 11th, 2020. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hopefully your week is off to a great start. We are very happy to have you here with us today. How is your week going, by the way? Daylight savings here in the States started off on Sunday, so if you're not familiar with that whole situation, we all turned our clocks forward 1 hour early Sunday morning. They say it's, I don't know, it's for the farmers or the cows or something. I don't know. Do cows need that turn forward? I don't know why we do that. Anyways, I wish we would just stay on daylight savings. Now that we're on it, can we just stay on it and not go back in the fall? More daylight is always better than less daylight, isn't it? I mean, who came up with this whole idea of, well, you know, in the winter, we know that it's really cold and it's really depressing, but what would really get us down would be if we could just get less daylight for all of us in the day. That might get us to break psychologically. You know, it is kind of funny though, because like the first day, Sunday, you feel it a little bit, but it's not so bad if you're off on Sunday and you didn't have to go to work that day. You're like, okay, that wasn't too terrible. Hey, I even stayed up like normal time last night. I didn't go to bed early on Saturday night. So Sunday, I got up. Yeah, you know what? You feel it a little bit, but it's not a big thing. Not a problem. That's because you slept until 9 a.m. on Sunday. But here's the problem. When you stayed up until 11 on Sunday night, and then you had to get up at 5 or 6 on Monday, oh, that hurt. That was absolutely brutal. You cussed out every single U.S. president that has allowed this nonsense to take place every year. The extra hour of light in the evening is kind of nice though. And it is starting to get a little bit warmer, at least here in Denver it is. It is officially here in Denver, wear a jacket in the morning and then be like completely baffled in the afternoon by, why did I wear a jacket? What was I doing? Like, it's warm out now. It's super warm out this afternoon. Why in the world did I even bring a jacket today? And why is the heater on in my car? Was I drunk this morning? What was I doing? I don't need the heater on. It's warm now. So don't get confused. Like, it's just that time of year right now where it's cool in the morning, gets a little bit warmer in the afternoon. I know here in Denver, we still have some snow coming, but it's just that kind of weird time of year, turning the clocks forward. Weather is starting to change. Spring is coming very, very soon. Don't get too thrown off by any of it. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us how daylight savings is affecting you. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you've got some feedback for the show. Maybe you have a suggestion. Maybe you have a certain subject that you would like the answer to. Reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. Also, be sure to stop by tpublic.com and pick up some of the Daily Dose gear that we do have available over there. We have our standard Daily Dose gear over there. We have our Daily Dose iTeam shirts over there, a couple of different styles. We have our Daily Dose Faster Than Domestic Violence t-shirts over there. You can get them in whatever color you want. You can get t-shirts, you can get sweatshirts, you can get hoodies, you can get like coffee mugs or something for your office. A number of items over at tpublic.com. Just go over there, search Daily Dose in the search bar, scroll down until you see our logo, and there you can find a number of items to get exactly what it is that you need. Also, we're going to be talking about it a lot today, but March Madness is coming next week, and you need to make sure that you head over to ESPN.com and join our Daily Dose March Madness Bracket Challenge. It's really easy. It seems like we're getting more and more people to join every single year, so make sure that you head over there. Big Rob sets this up for us every year. It's super easy to join. Go to ESPN.com, go to the Tournament Challenge, and click Join Group. You don't need a password. It's free. All you have to do is search for the group, Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and join us. You create your username, you make all of your picks, and if you pick a perfect bracket, I think you win like $1 million from ESPN, but the winner of our bracket is once again going to get a Daily Dose t-shirt, so make sure you head over to ESPN.com and make your picks. We want you to join our group. Anyone is welcome, and bragging rights are most definitely at stake. Hey, today on the show, we do have a few sports news stories coming out that we need to discuss, but then that NCAA tournament is coming quickly. We are going to give you a very early preview of a few things that you're going to want to keep an eye on during March Madness. I know we're starting to get excited. This coming weekend, We have the brackets come out. You're going to be filling out that March Madness bracket. You're going to be participating in that office pool. We're going to give you a few things to keep an eye out for. Plus, we do have a very interesting Daily Dose Top 5 for you today as well. You know you never want to miss the Daily Dose Top 5. Don't know where it's going to go, but it always takes us somewhere interesting. You have to be sure that you stick around for that. Let's jump into the NFL. The NFL's Player Association and the League Management Council have agreed to move that whole franchise transition tag deadline. It was supposed to be tomorrow on Thursday at 4 p.m. They're going to bump that back to Monday by setting the tag deadline at noon. Kind of allows for that period known as legal tampering to begin on Monday. Start of the league year will remain next Wednesday, March 18th. The decision to move the tag deadline is following that extension of the deadline for players to vote on that big collective bargaining agreement proposal. They are extending that deadline out until Saturday. And they are saying that a number of NFL owners are hoping that the CBA proposal doesn't actually pass this week. Now, I don't know if I believe that, because that's just me. They think they can negotiate a better deal with eyes on an 18-game season in the future. That is what a source is telling all of the sports networks. They feel they gave up too much on the economics. The owners told Commissioner Roger Goodell of their belief at an owners meeting in New York back in February, citing frustration with the players' monetary increases and the increase of active rosters. Now, a handful of owners, they're not happy with the 17-game season. They say they want it to be an 18-game season. If the players don't approve that proposed CBA next week, the idea of an 18-game season has been floated in the past. We've heard players push back against it. We've heard the players' union push back against it. In fact, executive director of the NFLPA, that is Demoris Smith, he says, "I don't see an 18-game schedule under any circumstance being in the best interest of our players." That's what he said actually back in July. If someone wants to make an 18-game proposal, we'll look at it. I haven't seen anything that makes me think it would be good for the players. Now, I have a few thoughts on this whole CBA thing. First off, I know that originally the owners said they were thinking about maybe a 17-game schedule. Then they say, well, if they don't pass that, we might actually bump that to an 18-game schedule. I don't even know if I believe anything the owners are saying. I think they're just kind of throwing things out there. But who wants to tell the owners what number comes after 18? Because as soon as they find out it's 19, oh, they're going to be shooting for that next. Make no mistake about that. And you just knew that the owners would be keeping like a few things in their pocket. Like they were just kind of wait and be like, hey, let's see if they'll agree to what we put out there. And we know that they might not. And you know what? That's okay if they don't. We're not really all that concerned if they don't. What we actually want to do is we want to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and see if we can't get a little bit bigger of a number, because we want to push for as many games as they can. Now, I know everyone's saying, the NFLPA and the players, everyone is saying 17 games or 18 games is just too much. It's just too much for safety. We're going to see injuries. You can't actually have these guys playing more than 16. Now, here's a question for you. What made the magic number 16? I know we all say 17 or 18 is just way too much. But has anyone ever been hurt in, I don't know, week one? Maybe in preseason? Maybe in week two? Okay, here's the thing. None of it is safe. None of the NFL is safe. If you want it safe, here's an easy hint. Lose the helmets, lose the shoulder pads. Because then that will safen some things right up. Otherwise, let's stop throwing out the safety card. Hey, we just don't want it to be unsafe. We really want to be super safe for these players. Yeah, I don't know if it's a safety thing. I think it might be an overworked thing. I think it's definitely a money thing. But if I'm a younger player, I know I'm not going to be there 10 years. I know I'm not going to be there maybe much more than 5 years. I'm going to take whatever they give me. And if you're going to give me an extra paycheck to play an extra game or two, yeah, I'm actually going to take that. I don't really care. But let's stop saying that we're going to do this for the safety of the players, because none of it is safe. Like zero of it is safe. It doesn't matter. If they play one single game, it's going to be unsafe. Stop with the whole safety thing. Moving over to the NBA, you know, we actually had a really interesting week over this past week in the NBA. A number of things happen. For one, the NBA announced on Monday that it plans to dramatically curb access to the players in the locker rooms because of the whole coronavirus thing. The league notified teams on Monday that they'll need to eliminate what the NBA considers to be non-essential team personnel, including media members, from their locker rooms. Kind of crazy to think about. Apparently, that whole exclusive, hey, we're just going to fist bump. Remember that thing? Remember that's what they said last week? Hey, no more handshakes. We're just going to do a lot of fist bumping. Apparently, that did not, in fact, curb the coronavirus. Who knew that would have that effect? The Golden State Warriors got superstar Steph Curry back last week from that broken hand he suffered early in the season. And then he played exactly one game. He looked pretty good. Steph scored 23 points. He had 6 rebounds. He had 7 assists. And then it was announced he had contracted influenza A and he is out again until further notice. And they specifically said, like, they came out and the Warriors specifically said, hey, it's not coronavirus. He has influenza A. That's all. Which sounds like exactly what you'd say if he had coronavirus. Just kind of throwing that out there. I don't know. Let's hope Steph is okay. The Los Angeles Lakers had a very good week this last week. They beat Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans last Sunday. Then they pounded Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers last Tuesday. They beat the Milwaukee Bucks. They beat the Los Angeles Clippers. Hey, the Los Angeles Lakers are starting to look like the best team in the NBA, bar none. The LA Clippers have no answer whatsoever for Anthony Davis. They just can't even play him. They don't even know what to do with him. Anthony Davis was completely dominant. But it is kind of funny watching the Lakers have this success, or like watching LeBron fans have this success. Because if you ask them, are the Lakers the best team in the league right now? Do you feel like LeBron and the Lakers, they're finally the big dog in the NBA right now? Now, I'm not talking about the idiot fans. You know, you remember those ones that were saying, like, the Lakers are going to win it all with Byron Scott coaching. I'm not talking about those ones. I'm talking about the rational, good, smart Laker fans. If you ask them right now, hey, is this the best team in the NBA? They look like they are the big dog. Is that the best team out there? And it's all funny because all those Laker fans are like, well, I don't know about that. I mean, there's some really good teams out there. We're just trying to, you know, we're just trying to win a few games. We're just kind of stumbling along. We're just trying to do the best that we can. I mean, why won't you just own that? What are you so afraid of? Like, if you're a Lakers fan right now, you just say, we are the best team. We just beat the Clippers. We just beat the Bucks. What else is left for us? Hey, we're rolling. Make no mistake, nobody has a 1-2 punch like what we have. We are the best team in the NBA. I mean, what are they afraid of? Are they afraid of, like, I don't know, LeBron losing to the Dallas Mavericks or like the Boston Celtics in the postseason or something? No one does that. Come on.
Man, that's just mean.
What are you afraid of, Lakers fans? Step up. Finally, we reached the story of the Brooklyn Nets, who fired their head coach Kenny Atkinson over the past weekend because they were sitting a little below 500, even though they are, like, in the playoffs right now. But this actually started rumors that the Nets superstars may have been behind his firing. Rumors are that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant may have been orchestrating Atkinson's firing. Nets big man DeAndre Jordan responded to the rumors on Sunday, saying he was shocked when he heard the news. The guys who had been here love him, so I'm sure it's tough for them. At the end of the day, this is a business. Coaches get fired, players get cut, they get traded, whatever. He went on to say that if people think this was done by the Nets superstars, it's absolutely not true. DeAndre Jordan had this to say: I think whatever you're saying and whatever the reports are, it's BS. If this was done by the superstars, that has no place here. That was not involved in any way here with the Brooklyn Nets. That's what DeAndre Jordan had to say. And I mean, here's the question I guess I have. If this was orchestrated by the superstars on the Nets, how would DeAndre Jordan know anything about it? Dude hasn't been a superstar since, I don't know, like ever. He doesn't get invited to those meetings. What are you scoring, DeAndre? 9 points a game? You have no idea if the superstars worked this whole deal out to get their coach fired. How would you know? You're just out there trying to hit double digits for a change. Okay, coming back. Like I said, March Madness is coming next week already, and we are going to get you ready for what to watch as that NCAA tournament gets started. And I'm telling you right now, it is going to be another wild year. So like I said, the NCAA tournament is coming already. And Sunday is already Selection Sunday for the 2020 NCAA tournament, where we are going to see the top, 64, 68, 72, 186, however many teams that get into the tournament these days, they're going to be put into the bracket on Sunday. You know, they're making it real hard, by the way, for any of the teams that don't get in, because while someone else might get in ahead of you, and maybe we can, you know, debate whether or not they deserved it, if you win your important games, you are getting into the tournament. So many teams get in, there really isn't that much room for a lot of teams to gripe about not getting in. And while I know that the conference tournaments are getting started, some of them have already even completed, some conferences have already punched their tickets to the big dance, we wanted to give you kind of an early tournament preview. You know, we don't know which teams are getting in exactly, but we have an idea of who's going to be there. We wanted to get you ready for the tournament that never disappoints. Like I said, there are a few teams that have already won their conference tournaments. They have received that automatic qualifier to get into the field of, I think it's 68. And hey, if your team is on the bubble coming down the stretch, you need to be rooting for the favorites to win their conference tournaments, because if upsets happen, it's going to leave less spots for your favorite team. Might give you more of a reason to watch these conference tournaments as they come down the stretch. Okay, so what kind of tournament is this going to be next week? And I guess it's kind of best to start off with, well, what sort of season has it been up to this point? And while we've been talking about this all year, this is a season where we don't really see any truly great teams, but there are a few good teams. Here is the question. In a single elimination tournament, who can put together six wins? As you start making your picks next week, as you start filling in your brackets and filling in those office pools, you might want to look at some teams that are more than just talented. For one, do they have any depth? Can they beat you in more than just one way? Because you're going to see different teams. You're going to see different matchups. Are they tough? Do they have a mental toughness? Are they mature? Because sometimes those traits might matter a little bit more than just pure talent. I'm not sure if we have any great teams. We're going to see if we have some tough teams that find a way to win six games. Now, I do hate to bring this up as we head into the tournament, and everything is pretty quiet right now, but just going into this tournament, how many programs currently have like a cloud of misconduct hanging over them? We've got a few, don't we? I mean, Arizona has basically just decided, we're just going to ignore everything. I know they're saying we did a bunch of stuff. We're just going to say we didn't do anything, put our head in the sand, and not look at anything else. Kansas is probably caught dead to rights on a number of things, but they have just basically decided to say, yeah, it wasn't us. Well, we have you on videotape. Wasn't us. We took DNA samples. It was definitely you. Wasn't us. Louisville is being looked at. You always have to watch Bruce Pearl at Auburn. Only God knows what he's doing down there. Creighton is being watched. North Carolina State, Oregon, they are all being tracked. Now, will anything ever come of any of this? Who knows? And you know why? Because honestly, I don't think any of us really care that much, do we? Like, we don't want anyone messing with our March Madness. Kansas was cheating. Well, okay, like, give them a little penalty or something, but don't go busting up my bracket. Like, I have the Jayhawks going to the Final Four. Don't go screwing that up for me. So I don't think anyone really cares all that much. And I think that's why this isn't going anywhere. There's not really that big of a push. Let's bring these teams to justice. Everyone's like, hey, I'm filling out my office pool. Can we kind of get this stuff all straightened out or just kind of push it to the side? I don't want to deal with that stuff. Maybe someday we'll actually see a team, I don't know, get some charges, get some punishment for some of these allegations. I'm just not sure when that's going to happen. One other story that we kind of have to touch on going into this NCAA tournament, and I hate to even bring this up, but we do have to talk a little about the whole coronavirus thing, don't we? Is it going to have any kind of impact on this tournament? The Ivy League completely canceled their conference tournament. They're just going to give that automatic bid to Yale. They were the regular season champions. That stuff is already kind of starting right now. Can you imagine NCAA tournament games being played, but there's no one in the arena? And, you know, I've gone to NCAA tournament games. If an upset starts brewing, the crowds are primarily neutral. Like, you have each team's kind of, you know, faction there, and then the rest of the crowd is just neutral. Every single time an underdog starts to maybe make some plays, starts to do something, the neutral crowd just starts cheering for the underdog. Now think about this. If we did actually have empty arenas, I would think that would actually kind of bizarrely be an advantage for the higher ranked teams because they're not getting that pushback from the crowd that is cheering for the underdog. Now, I hope this isn't something that's going to come into play. I really do. I'm just hoping we go in, everything's fine, and we have the tournament like normal. I don't want any kind of coronavirus scare or anything. By the way, we do need to talk a little bit about the coronavirus, and I don't want to talk about it a whole lot. I know everyone's freaking out, whatever. I just have a few questions. One, why, when we find out about a virus like this, why are we told to follow the most basic of manners? Like, the biggest thing that everyone is saying is the things that we learned when we were little kids. Don't cough, don't sneeze on people, and wash your hands. Do we need to be told those things? Like, cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze? I learned that back in, I don't know, like preschool. Wash your hands. Again, something we learned in preschool. Like, when you were a little kid in like kindergarten or something, your teacher told you, okay, class, now after coughing or sneezing or making a poo-poo or a pee-pee, what do we do? Eat paste? No, Jimmy, go stand in the corner. We wash our hands. Why do we need that refresher course now? Just because there's a virus out there, shouldn't we all be doing these things anyways? By the way, when they do come out and they say, hey, you know, be careful when you're coughing, be careful when you're sneezing, be sure to wash your hands, things we should already be doing. They also come out and they say this, whatever you do, try not to touch your face, try not to like touch your nose, touch your eyes, touch your mouth. That's a way to kind of transmit this. You don't want to do that. When you hear that, how bad do you want to touch your face? Like, if I say you can't touch your face right now, don't touch your face, sit here and listen to the podcast, do not touch your face. All of a sudden, I'm like, my eyebrow kind of itches. My nose, what is going on? All of a sudden, I need to touch my face really, really bad. I'm telling you, this stupid coronavirus is turning us into toddlers. We're just going back in time. It's the dumbest thing ever. I hope it doesn't affect the tournament. Finally, I know right now so many people are saying the same thing about the NCAA tournament. Hey, college basketball is down. We don't have a Zion Williamson. We don't have a Trae Young. We don't have even like a Jalen Brunson or the name that we all recognize. But here's the thing. The college basketball tournament, it's kind of like the Olympics. We haven't tuned in fully yet. Like, we kind of keep an eye on it. Okay, who are the top-ranked teams? Okay, yeah, I got it. I kind of have an idea. We're going to sit down and watch the Olympics in a few months. Hopefully, they still take place. And while we don't know jack about the high dive, after we watch it for a few minutes, pretty soon, we're like analyzing why the diver's tuck was like a little late. I don't know. I'm kind of just watching this. And, you know, he entered the water just a little bit at kind of an odd angle. He created a larger splash. I know I don't know that much about diving, but I'm just thinking maybe he should have got out of that tuck a little bit quicker. Over the next few weeks, we are going to start watching more college basketball, and then we're going to start filling out our brackets, and then we're going to start learning these teams, and we're going to start learning these players, and we are going to get to know some of these teams and some of these players, and we're going to start saying, hey, this draft isn't that bad. This tournament isn't that bad. There's some good players. We just haven't fully tuned in quite yet. But there are some good teams, and there are some good players. I realize there might not be the big dog teams that we've seen in the past few years, but there are still some teams that have to be considered the favorites as we approach the tournament. Let's take a look at the teams that are really making a push for those number one seeds in the bracket. It might not seem like a big deal, but being a one seed is so much better than being a two seed. First, you get to play that 16 in the opening round. We know those odds are in your favor when you play a 16, but then you get to play the winner of an 8 versus 9 matchup, as opposed to maybe a 7 or a 10. Might seem small, it's not small. And the best team you can see in those early rounds, when you are a 1, is a 4 seed. And you wouldn't see them until the Sweet 16. Being a 1 seed kind of lets you get your legs underneath you. That can be helpful. Let's take a look at 4 teams that are making a push to be those 1 seeds in the tournament. And if we're looking at the top team in the country going into the big dance, I realize all of this is very fluid. We could see movement in these top 4 teams. We could easily see 2 or 3 of these teams lose in their conference tournament. But right now, It is looking like the Kansas Jayhawks are going to be the top team in the NCAA tournament. They had to hold off Texas Tech on Saturday, and we could easily see them trip up in the Big 12 tournament because the Big 12, it's a pretty stout conference. But Bill Self has himself quite the squad. And I told you before, as good as Devin Dotson and big man Udoka Azubuike are, they need a little bit of help. Like, you can stop a two-headed monster. If it turns into a three-headed or a four-headed, that gets a little more tough. Well, Kansas is starting to get some help from sophomore David McCormick coming off the bench. Now, the thing I do want to watch, will problem child Silvio D'Souza, I don't know, club someone over the head with a chair at some point? Who knows? Maybe. But Kansas looks like they are going to be the top team going into the tournament. Next team up, we all kind of think about the Gonzaga Bulldogs like back at the beginning of the year when they're playing some of the top teams in the country. But then as they start playing their conference, we all sort of, I don't know, fall asleep on Gonzaga. I'm telling you right now, do not sleep on them come tournament time. Mark Few's group is scoring points at a wild rate. They average 88 points per game. And yes, I know they're doing it against that West Coast Conference. But do not think that Gonzaga can't hang with the big dogs. Remember, prior to their conference play, they beat Oregon. They beat Washington. They beat Arizona, and they were hanging 80 points on them too. Now, Gonzaga has been banged up throughout the season, but they're starting to get healthy now. And I'm telling you right now, Gonzaga can play with anyone. They will probably be a number one seed. Like I said, there are some things that could shuffle around at the top, but I think one of the other one seeds is probably going to go to the Dayton Flyers. And when was the last time Dayton was a true contender? They were pretty scrappy a few years back with Scoochie Smith, I think. Plus, I really, really like saying the name Scoochie. Try saying Scoochie right now. Pretty fun, right? But we might have to go back, like clearer back to like the Cedric Toney days to find a real Dayton contender. But I'm telling you, this year, Dayton is no joke. They are really, really good offensively. Obi Toppin is one of the best players in the country, and Dayton has a very, very good coach in Anthony Grant. If you don't remember him, he was an assistant on those Florida championship teams under Billy Donovan. Anthony Grant is very, very good on the bench. Now, there are a few other teams that could slide into that final number one seed, and we'll see what shakes up in those conference tournaments, but right now, I think the committee would probably stick with the Baylor Bears. I know they just lost over the weekend to West Virginia, but I think the committee would take a look at that full body of work, and they just might reward the Big 12 with two top seeds, because San Diego State and Seton Hall both lost over the weekend. I think Baylor actually might get the top seed, and make no mistake, they are going to be a headache for whoever they face. They've got length, they can run, they can switch screens because it seems like every kid on that roster can guard anyone. Baylor is going to be tough, and I think they're going to get a one seed. And yes, we don't know the top players just yet, unless you're like a college hoops junkie. But there are some kids that are going to get more and more familiar to you over the next few weeks. Right now, everyone is saying the same thing. They're like, well, the NBA draft this year is going to be really, really down. But you just watch how much the experts change their tune after this tournament. Might not be a great class, but there are some studs in this class. I would give the top dog to the guy on the top team. And yes, this could move around a little bit, but Kansas big man Udoka Azubuike, he is dominant in the post. Remember, he missed last year with that hand injury, but he's back and he is tearing up opponents. He's averaging like 14 points and 11 rebounds per game, but it's not just that. It's also what he does defensively. He changes shots at the rim. He is going to be a force in the tournament. Azubuike, no doubt, is one of the best players in the country. I talked about him just a few minutes ago, and I told you a few weeks ago that I thought this guy might be the best player in the country. Now, I do like Miles Powell at Seton Hall, but Dayton's Obi Toppin, he can just do everything, and he looks so smooth doing it. I think Toppin has a chance to put himself firmly into the NBA draft lottery if he's not already there. He might be. With a good tournament, I think he's going to like pull a Ja Morant and elevate his status into like a top three pick. He's 6'9". Obi Toppin runs like a gazelle. He can shoot. He attacks the paint. He's shooting almost 70% from the field. Come tournament time, you're going to want to tune in and watch Dayton because Toppin is a player. Here's an interesting thing though. If I were to ask you right now, who is the leading scorer in the country, who would you say? Maybe an Obi Toppin. We know Azubuike's not putting up huge scoring numbers, but maybe he's up there. But the leading scorer in the country is at Marquette, and he's only 5'11". Now, Marquette has some work to do just to get into the tournament. They've kind of been stumbling lately, but Marcus Howard is a player to watch if they get there. Marcus Howard is averaging 28 points per game. If he gets rolling, he can light up the scoreboard. And when he does, all of a sudden, Marquette suddenly becomes a pain because he just can shoot from anywhere. If Marquette makes it, you have to watch Marcus Howard. I know a lot of times as coaches, we would say, yeah, give that kid a green light. He can shoot it. I'm telling you, Marcus Howard has two green lights just in case, I don't know, one burns out or something. He will fire it up from anywhere, and he is deadly. One final player that I would add on the list of players to watch as we go into the tournament, and I'm actually going to go to the Big Ten. Yes, I like Cassius Winston at Michigan State. Although, one quick side note, why is it still the Big Ten? And I'm sorry to go on these kind of side tangents, but there's like 14 teams in that conference. Can we change it to the Big 14 or something? Because it's not the Big 10 anymore. That conference hasn't had 10 teams in years. Go ahead and switch that up. Anyway, I know Maryland and Michigan State and Wisconsin are getting all the headlines. I still kind of like Iowa, but if you haven't seen big man Luke Garza, he is going to be a handful in the tournament. Luke Garza is 6'11". He's putting up 24 points and 10 rebounds a game. And at that level, it's really hard to find guys that are big enough to guard him. You don't get a ton of time to prep for what is basically a 7-footer. Luke Garza might be a name that everyone ends up knowing by the end of this tournament. A couple other things we want to look at as we go into the tournament. You know, every single season, we see a team come out of nowhere and just make serious noise in this tournament. What do? They bust up your bracket. They leave you cussing. You're tearing up that stupid Brent out and you're throwing it in the trash can. But what if? Just what if we could give you a few ideas about a couple of teams to kind of keep an eye on? Like, what if the Daily Dose could sniff out a few of those under-the-radar teams before the brackets were even released? Well, that is what we're going to try to do right now, my friends. Here are some under-the-radar teams that if you're not careful, they just might bust up your brackets. Keep these teams in mind. Let's start with the Mountain West Tournament champion, Utah State Aggies. I know it's the Mountain West. I get that. We're kind of used to scoffing at that conference, well, for most of everything. But the Mountain West actually has some pretty decent basketball talent. San Diego State is probably going to be a 2 seed, and Utah State beat them for that tournament championship. If you haven't seen Utah State play, I'm telling you, they are tough. They've got a kid on that team named Sam Merrill. Sam Merrill could easily be on our list of top players to watch. Kid is scoring 20 points a game. Utah State can play very, very well at both ends. And Merrill is that kind of kid. He will just will his team to win a few games in that dance. Utah State has toughness. Their offense has a ton of flow. They've got shooters. If you see Utah State, they just might be a dangerous team. They could break up your bracket, because they just might be that Cinderella team. Next team up, and they don't have a big name, but you might want to keep an eye on where the Akron Zips end up in the NCAA bracket. Hey, I realize the conference they play in, the MAC, it's not the toughest conference in the country, but the Akron Zips have been tested, and they have won 8 of their last 9 games. Here's the thing that I really like about Akron, though. They've got really good guards. They have a great set of guards that could be a major problem in the tournament. They've got Lauren Christian Jackson and Tyler Cheese. And if Akron plays well defensively, you could be in for a tough night because they score points. Those two guards can dictate tempo. You could end up with a handful if you're playing the Akron Zips. Be careful. They can shoot it. They can fill it up. Maybe they don't play that hard on defense all the time, but if they do, you might get yourself in a dogfight that you never expected. Because in that first round, you were like, oh, we got Akron. We got an easy game first round up. Yeah, it might not go exactly like that. Be careful if you see the Akron Zips. Another team on our list of, you know, kind of Cinderella bracket busters to keep an eye on, the Liberty Flames, they could definitely be a Cinderella in this year's tournament. Because here's the thing. This team is not the young freshman or sophomore team. This is a group of veterans. They're not going to get rattled by the pressure of playing in the NCAA tournament. Liberty is coached by longtime Tony Bennett assistant Richie McKay, and they kind of bring that same kind of Virginia mentality of just locking you down defensively. You're not going to score the number of points that you're used to. Not tonight. Not against Liberty. The Liberty Flames allow just 53 points per game, and they generate a ton of points from your turnovers because they do play such tenacious defense. They are going to frustrate you. They are going to smother you. You're going to feel a little bit off when you play Liberty. Hey, Liberty has won 30 games this year. And remember this, like I said about them not being rattled, the tournament not being too big for them. Remember this, the Liberty Flames were the 12 seed last year. In the first round, they knocked off number 5 Mississippi State. I guarantee you, Liberty wants more this season. Kind of keep an eye out for those Liberty Flames. Our final team is not the little, like, no-name team. It's not a team that you're not going to recognize. They play in a smaller conference, but it's a conference that has way more talent than people might think. But the Houston Cougars finished the season on top of the American Athletic Conference. I mean, you hear that and you say, well, that's not that big of a deal. Who cares? Until you realize, like, you look a little bit closer at that conference and you realize that Houston had to beat out teams like Cincinnati, who's very solid. Tulsa, very tough. Wichita State, we know how tough the Shockers can be. And Memphis, who is trying to play their way into the tournament. All of those teams have a chance to get into the dance this year. Now, I know down at Houston, Kelvin Sampson's group could end up having to vacate the wins that they, you know, might get, because we kind of know how Kelvin Sampson works. I mean, you just never know with him, but Houston is another very talented team. They just lock you up defensively. They don't let you breathe for 40 minutes. If you draw Houston early in the tournament, and I would expect they're probably going to be like a 6, 7, 8 kind of seed. So you kind of sleep on a team like Houston. Be very, very careful of the Houston Cougars. They definitely could be a bracket buster. Don't let it happen to you. But you know, not only do we want to give you a few under the radar teams, we also want to give you some teams. I'm not saying they're not going to win. I'm not going to say they can't win. I'm just going to say you better be very, very cautious with these four teams. Some of them are among the top teams in the country, but I'm telling you, they have some flaws. Don't be surprised if they bow out early to a Cinderella, maybe a little bit earlier than we expected. Hey, bet on them if you want, but do so cautiously. And first up, I hate to do this. I know I'm going to get some hate, but I have to nominate the Duke Blue Devils. Hey, make no mistake, Duke can beat you in a few ways. That is a very talented team. There are times that Duke has looked like maybe they're going to end up being the great team. Sometimes they can shoot it. Defensively, early on, they looked really, really good. But here's the weird thing. They can find ways to lose. Like, they can lose in a few different ways. Sometimes they just go ice cold and can't shoot it at all. Sometimes we see dominant big man Vernon Carey Jr. just get into foul trouble, and then they lose their inside presence. And sometimes their defense looks very, very average. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm telling you right now, if this wasn't a Coach K coach team, I think we'd all be looking at it going, Duke doesn't look that very well coached. What is going on? And Coach K, by the way, his like body language also tells me we should worry a little bit about Duke, because Coach K is grumpy, really grumpy. He's yelling at the Duke students. He's telling people, if you want to criticize us, just go look at the banners. But I mean, when you think about it, Coach K, he kind of fools us, doesn't he? Because he has all that fake jet black hair, but you kind of forget. Mike Krzyzewski is almost 75 years old. At 75, do you want to be dealing with 18-year-olds that are whining all the time and telling you what to do? No, me either. Coach K is grumpy. I would be cautious with Duke. Another team I would kind of be careful about, they went on an amazing run last year, and maybe they have another run in them again this season, but the Auburn Tigers are struggling this year when they play good competition. When they play the bad teams, they look great. But when they play good teams, they struggle. And that is bad news in a 6-game tournament when you are going to be playing, you know, the top teams in the country. If they shoot the ball well, Auburn can play with anyone. Just don't have a cold shooting night, because if they do, they can also lose to anyone. I won't be surprised to see Auburn get like a 5 seed and then face a really tough 12 seed. And if so, Auburn could be in some serious trouble. Another team that is a top team in the country, but they have shown a lot of inconsistency, and that would make me very, very nervous, and that is the Maryland Terrapins. Yes, Mark Turgeon is an excellent coach. I get all that. They're probably going to get like a 3 or a 4 seed. But Maryland, they're really struggling to run teams off the three-point line. For some reason, maybe it's just a wacky coincidence, every team that plays Maryland suddenly finds their three-point stroke. And if you get into a game with a sharp-shooting team, yeah, you might be in a little bit of trouble. I know the Big Ten is always a tough conference, but think about it this year. This season, it's not a great shooting conference. So if you're giving up good shooting, maybe you don't notice it in the Big Ten, but against other teams, yeah, you might notice it a lot. Maryland could be in a little bit of trouble defensively, and the last team that I will put on my list of teams, I'm not saying not to pick them, I'm just saying be cautious about it. I know that the Kentucky Wildcats are starting to feel it lately. They're starting to win some games down the stretch, and their fans are yelling racial slurs like it's the 1800s. So hey, Wildcats fans have to be feeling like it's the glory days again, and they can be very good. That is a talented, talented group at Kentucky. They could be very dangerous. But I'm also seeing some things that do scare me. For one, starting point guard Ashton Higgins is taking some time off from the team because they say he's in a bad way. I don't know what that means. I hope the kid's okay. But this is March Madness and they desperately need him. Also, Kentucky at times struggles to defend without fouling their opponents. That's a bad sign. Plus, doesn't it kind of seem like right now it's really, really quiet around John Calipari? Like, we hear about Louisville, we hear about Kansas, we hear about Arizona. We're not hearing much about Kentucky and Calipari. It's like the lull before the storm. We know a storm always follows John Calipari. I'm a little bit skeptical about the Kentucky Wildcats. Okay, coming back, we still have a few more things to look for as March Madness is coming quickly. I mean, are there any teams out there that could surprise us? And what teams should you dread seeing in your quadrant of the bracket? They could keep you up late at night. Plus, we still have to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. College Hoops is finishing up. We are looking a lot at the tournament today, but today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is also going to look at a different type of success in college basketball. So let's continue our early March Madness preview. Yes, I know the brackets haven't even come out yet, but we want to try to help you when they do so that you are ready to win that office pool. We know there is nothing better than office pool bragging rights, Daily Dose office pool bragging rights. Whatever you can win is the better. You want to make sure you take care of those brackets. One thing I think you have to try to rate into the equation when you are making your picks is which coaches are out there that are capable of raising their team's play just purely by their coaching ability. And I know a lot of times, especially the experts, they'll always say, well, coaching doesn't really matter that much. You got to have players, and you 100% do have to have players. But then why do we see some of the best coaches just win every single year? It happens every year. Why are they always so good? It's not just name recognition. They're doing something right. I have 4 coaches, might not have the most loaded teams, but I am always very wary about going against them. And I would be a little bit nervous to put down the other team on the line this year. No, their teams aren't great, but they are very, very good coaches. I will start with a guy that has won 2 titles now. And while I'm not sure if Villanova is truly capable of winning another one this season, they've got some size. Head coach Jay Wright, he is getting his Villanova Wildcats to play defense much, much better. And as a result, they are a team that can win ugly if they have to. Yes, they struggle at times to shoot the ball, and that is a major concern. But what if Jay Wright can figure out how to manufacture points? Villanova could be a little bit tougher than expected. I'm not saying I wouldn't pick against Nova, but like with Jay Wright, I kind of go, I don't know. Like, it makes me a little bit nervous to do so. Villanova might be a pain. The next coach I have has a team that is talented enough to literally win the whole thing. But I'm telling you, it is their coach that has built this program the way that he has. Do not sleep on Leonard Hamilton down at Florida State. Florida State can play with anyone. But what I really like about them, what could separate them from the pack, is just the toughness that Leonard Hamilton forces his teams to play with. It's kind of crazy to think about. But Florida State has made it at least to the Sweet 16 in each of the past 3 seasons. They could go further than that this year. They could go to the Final 4 this year. They could win it all this year. Leonard Hamilton coaches tough basketball for that reason. I'm going to have a tough time picking against Florida State. Next team up, I'm not liking how they're playing. I'm really not. They're stumbling into the tournament. But after seeing the job he did last year, like, I'm kind of nervous to pick against Chris Beard and Texas Tech. I realize he doesn't have the people that he had last year. He just doesn't have the players. Remember, they went all the way to the title game and almost won the thing. But Chris Beard coaches tough, fundamental, sound defense. And if they can knock down a few shots, Texas Tech will still be a pain. Yes, you'll probably beat the Red Raiders eventually, but you're going to have to fight for it. They're not going to go away easily. And usually, Texas Tech could knock down some free throws. Always be careful of that. The last coach that you have to be wary of betting against, and it is an old faithful one because I really don't like Michigan State this year. I like point guard Cassius Winston. I like big man Xavier Tillman at times, but they just haven't found a whole lot else throughout the season. They really, really need another scorer. But Tom Izzo, as he usually does, is forcing this Michigan State team to improve. They will rebound. They will play defense. So they just might end up getting more shots than you do. And we're starting to see he is developing freshman forward Malik Hall. He's starting to step up a little bit. Still not big on Sparty, but Izzo is great. He's hard to bet against. We finish up our early March Madness preview by taking a look at some teams that if they are in your bracket, maybe they are going to play your favorite team. I'll just tell you right now, I'm sorry. Now, to be fair, these four teams, I don't even know if they're all going to make it to the dance. Some of them still have some work to do, but if they do get in, you don't want to see them as a future opponent because they're going to be a pain. And I will start with a team that I think should worry everyone in the country. And I am talking about the defending national champions. Yes, I realize Virginia has lost 7 or 8 games this year. So, hey, Virginia, they're not the team they used to be. They're not like last year. Yeah, except head coach Tony Bennett, he is getting this group to figure things out. Virginia has won 8 in a row, and in those games, they have had wins against Duke. They have beaten Louisville. Now, they're probably going to get like a 5 or a 6 seed. If I am like a 1 or a 2, I do not want to be in the same bracket with Virginia because not only are they good, not only are they tough and well-coached, they were just there last year. Some of those kids are back. They have that big game experience. I don't want to see Virginia in my bracket. They're going to be very, very tough. Now, if you've listened to the Dose, you know kind of my love-hate relationship with the Pac-12 in that I don't really love it and I more kind of hate it because it's just not very good. We like to point and laugh at the Pac-12 quite a bit. But I will say this, the rest of the country, you might want to hope that UCLA doesn't make it. Because head coach Mick Cronin, they kind of got started slow, and I'm still not fully in on the UCLA Bruins, but they're at least very scrappy. And the guy that is impressive to me is point guard Tiger Campbell. We know you have to have good guards in March Madness. Sometimes Tiger Campbell will drive you crazy, but he can also make a game-winning clutch play. I don't think UCLA can like contend or anything, but I wouldn't want to play them because they're just going to be a pain. They're starting to figure things out at UCLA. They would be a very, very tough team to see. We talked a little bit earlier about Gonzaga being in the West Coast Conference. Yes, the West Coast isn't great, but don't forget, there are a couple of other teams over there. And one of them you would be wise to try to avoid is the BYU Cougars. I don't want them in my bracket. For one, the BYU Cougars team is made up of guys that are like 30 years old because they go on their Mormon missions. And then when they're done, they come home and play. They're not 18 and 19 year olds. These are like grown men. Oh, and by the way, this group at BYU, they are grown men that can flat out play. They have beaten Gonzaga. They have some size and man, can they shoot it from deep. BYU is knocking down 42% of their 3-point attempts. That leads the nation. You might outplay Brigham Young, but if they're hitting those threes, you still might end up losing. Because again, 3 counts more than 2. I don't want to see BYU on my side of the bracket if I'm in that tournament. One more team that I do not want to see on my side of the bracket, and they should actually be a pretty high seed, but they are a beatable team. The Creighton Blue Jays have shown they can lose games. In fact, they just lost by like 20 this past week to St. John's. But again, this is a team in Creighton. They will live by the 3, and they just might die by the 3. You just have to hope they don't live by it against you. Now, they're not always very good defensively, and that worries me. I'm not saying I'm going to pick Creighton in anything, but if they are on my side of the bracket, I'm worried because if they're hitting shots, you might be in for a long night. They are a top 10 team in three-point percentage, and here's the thing, they chuck them up a lot. Creighton has shot over 700 three-pointers this season. You just have to hope they don't go in. You might beat Creighton. If you're a better team, you should beat Creighton, but I don't want to see Creighton because they just might tear you up from three-point land and make you lose a game that you shouldn't end up losing. March Madness is going to be getting started next week. And you know, we always say it here at The Dose, it is the one sporting event that always, always lives up to the hype. Every year, doesn't matter if there's a good year, down year, bad year, whatever. Every year we see upsets. Every year we see buzzer beaters. Every year we see teams that we didn't expect to get as far as they did. And this year it is wide open. We might see a really fun tournament this season. Remember this, anyone aside from a 15 or 16 can make the Final Four. Now, that's not my opinion. That's not me talking. That is a statistical fact. Everyone who is not a 15 or a 16 seed has at some point made the Final Four. It can happen. Every year we hear people saying, this team can't make it. This team shouldn't have even gotten in. Why did they even allow this team into the tournament? You think back to teams like Virginia Commonwealth or Chicago, Illinois, or George Mason, or Coppin State, or even Butler. It happens every year. Now we've just got to see who it's going to happen to this year, but March Madness should be a lot of fun. Now, as we do every week, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Yes, the college basketball season is winding down quickly as we move toward the NCAA tournament. We'll see who ends up winning that tournament, but let's all be honest. College players have other goals in mind. They're all hoping for one thing. And as much as we want to like tell ourselves, oh, they just want to win a championship, that's probably not their ultimate goal, is it? Not for most players. They want another thing. They want to go to the league, to play in the NBA, to get paid to play basketball. So today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is going to take a look at a different type of success in the college basketball world, and that is this. Which programs are actually generating the most NBA players? We think of the top teams in college basketball. Who is getting their players paid?
What?
No, I'm not talking about at the university. I'm talking about after they leave. Oh. Today, we count down the top 5 colleges with the most NBA players in history. Starting off at number 5. And we go to a place that might not be the birthplace of basketball, but it does have a very, very rich history. Because keep in mind that James Naismith himself coached at the University of Kansas. Later, we would see Fog Allen on the bench, who, by the way, had an assistant by the name of Dean Smith on his bench also. Then we had Larry Brown, we had Roy Williams, and now we have Bill Self. And who knows if Bill Self is going to get that program in trouble, but the Kansas Jayhawks have produced 76 NBA players, and they have had some good ones. Guys like Wilt Chamberlain, and Paul Pierce, and Danny Manning, and Joel Embiid, and Jacques Vaughn. How in the world has that happened? In the middle of like nowhere, Lawrence, Kansas. Well, I would think the fact that they've had some great coaches must have a lot to do with it. And I will say this, I have been to Kansas. That place supports their basketball program like no other. They are crazy back there. They might not have much in Kansas. They have basketball and they love it. Kansas has won 3 national titles. They have a great fan base. Kansas comes in at number 5 on our list with 76 players going on to the NBA. We move on to number 4. And we get to a team that you might have actually thought would be a little bit higher. But the Duke Blue Devils don't always have the most NBA players, as proven right here. The Blue Devils come in 4th with 81 NBA players, a ton of whom have come under current coach and resident grumpy old man Mike Krzyzewski. But Duke does have quite the illustrious history, which is pretty amazing when you think about this. When you think about college enrollment, Duke's is only about 15,000 students. Compare that to, say, Kansas. They're at almost 30,000. Compare that to, say, Texas A&M, who is at almost 70,000 students. Duke has a pretty small pool to pull from. But Duke has had some greats as well. Think back to guys like Shane Battier and Johnny Dawkins, Danny Ferry, Mike Jaminski, Art Heyman, Grant Hill, Christian Laettner, Elton Brand, Kyrie Irving, I guess has to go on this list, J.J. Redick, and of course, the latest, Zion Williamson. Not bad for a small school that only has about 15,000 students in their current enrollment. Duke comes in at number four. We move on to number three. And we move on to a program that annoys our number four entry more than anyone. Because while Duke may have swept the series this year, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill has sent more players to the professional level. They come in third with 94 players. And hey, not only does North Carolina have quantity, but wow, they have quality too. You think back to guys like Michael Jordan.
Who?
Yes, Phil Ford, James Worthy, Charlie Scott, Sam Perkins, Vince Carter, Bob McAdoo, Bobby Jones, Jerry Stackhouse, Antoine Jameson. The Tar Heels have had some greats on their list. North Carolina comes in at number three. We jump up to number two. And yes, we realize that their prime is probably behind them. But you just know the UCLA Bruins had to be on this list. Hey, the run that UCLA went on from about 63 until about 75, it's never going to be matched. John Wooden ran off 10 championships in that era. Yes, I know it was a different era, but the Bruins have also had some monsters that went on to great success in the NBA. UCLA has sent 98 players to the pros, including, of course, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Walton, Jamal Wilkes, Aaron Aflalo. What about Russell Westbrook, Reggie Miller, Baron Davis, Marcus Johnson, Lonzo Ball, Gale Goodrich, Henry Bibby, Walt Hazard, Kevin Love, and Sidney Wicks? That's a pretty good collection of talent there. UCLA comes in at number two. So, which college basketball program has sent the most players from its halls to the NBA court? And we've already touched on some big time programs, but this one tops them all. And you know, the crazy thing is, this school is still doing it every single year. Because the Kentucky Wildcats have sent 111 players to the NBA. And I'm telling you, they're going to be doing it again this summer. In fact, these days, head coach John Calipari, he actually goes to the NBA draft to celebrate with his players. Well, and also to be seen by all of the recruits that he's trying to pull to Lexington. But the Kentucky Wildcats have an impressive list. Louis Dampier, Cliff Hagan, Dan Issel, Kenny Walker, Sam Bowie, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, Tony Delk, Jamal Mashburn, Ron Mercer, Tayshaun Prince, Mel Turpin, Karl Anthony Towns, Rajon Rondo, Antoine Walker, John Wall. There are a ton of talented players that have come out of Kentucky. Kentucky tops our list of colleges sending players on to the NBA. Like I said, I know people are down on this year's class of college players going to the NBA, but I just bet that after March Madness, we're going to start hearing more hype for a few of these players with the NBA draft coming up, because every single year in March Madness, not only do we see upsets, not only do we see buzzer beaters, we also find stars in this tournament every year. Guys that we didn't know, that all of a sudden we're going, that guy's going to be a top five pick. It's going to happen again this year. It happens every year. Hey, next week on The Dose, we will be doing our best to keep you up to date with the latest and greatest in the world of sports as only we can. And you just know the world of sports always gives us something to talk about. Have to say thank you to all of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going wherever it is that you download the show and leaving us that five-star review. But most of all, thank you so much for sharing the show. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great week, everyone. I will see you all next Wednesday. Okay, class. Now, after coughing or sneezing or making a poo-poo or a pee-pee, what do we do? Eat paste? No, Jimmy. Go stand in the corner.